Hello guys, and welcome to the latest edition of the Blackspin Global Podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah guys, welcome to day one at the US Open. The secret's out, Lucy.
Yep.
We're here as we announced on Saturday. Thank you so much as well guys, for all the nice messages. It's been crazy, seeing everybody's kind of response. It's been nuts, jam-packed day one as we kind of expected. Mm-hmm. How have you found it, Lucy?
Way busier than I expected. Obviously my first time here, I think for me I was just really surprised at the difference between US Open and Wimbledon. It's just great being here, seeing people, the energy's different, the vibe's different, very busy, very big as well, being on Arthur Ashe and seeing how massive the stadium is.
Stadium.
I didn't realise how big it was, but honestly, it means, it's great being here, honestly, yeah.
How have you found the weather as well?
It's too hot, too damn hot, way too hot,
I think you've done well with your little hand fan.
Yeah, true. That has actually been helping me.
You've had spectators asking you, where the hell do you get that from?
Yeah, yeah. One woman did ask me. She's definitely on Amazon right now getting some. So, yeah.
Putting in that order.
Yeah, the match is keeping us busy, so it makes it easier. But, yeah.
No, it's been a brilliant day. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we had a lot of action. We did kind of keep you across on our socials. But let's just get into it. So, first match, Ben Shelton opening play on Arthur Ashe, which was a huge kind of significant moment, let's say that. And he was followed by Coco Gauff, which we'll talk about later on. But yeah, Ben Shelton, he got a straight set to win over the retiring Dominic Thiem. 6-4, 6-2, 6-2. Thought Ben looked very good, Lucy. What did you make of that?
No, he did. There was a lot of power coming from him. I feel like each of his matches from the hard court season, this hard court season, he just gets more and more aggressive. I think he had a little bit of struggles to return some of Thiem's serve, because I kind of felt like Thiem was relying a lot on his serve, especially the first set. I think he was moving a lot more towards the end of the first set. But he was still doing well, because whenever he was not returning as well, he would hit a strong forehand. Honestly, the match was great. I think him getting that win in the first set just help him breeze through.
I think you said something quite interesting as well when we were on court. You were it's quite sad to see Thiem not being able to kind of move the way he used to.
Yeah, honestly, it's just crazy, because this is someone that... this was someone that was so, so, so good. I think when I was watching the match, there was highlights of
his career.
And some of the things he's achieved.
Just obviously 2020's champion here.
Yeah, exactly. Some of the things that he's achieved is just amazing.
I think a three-time Grand Slam runner-up, two at the French, one at the Australian.
Yeah, and he lost to the big three. It's not like he was losing to anyone. Hence why everyone knew it was his time. But it's unfortunate that his body just gave up on him.
But
either way, despite that, it was a very entertaining performance, especially that last deuce on the first set. That one was really, really good. Throughout the match, Shelton just dominated.
I thought he was very aggressive, Shelton. He came out just hitting big from the back. Obviously, we know he's a powerful player.
Yeah.
But it did seem that was kind of his intention, from the start of the match, just to play aggressive from the first ball.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you saw throughout the match.
Yeah, I mean, he was, as the match kept on going, it just kept being more and more aggressive, especially from the second set and stuff. But it was great seeing him play like that. He looked different as well. I felt like he looked more fit in a way. I don't know. He just came into this US Open for me completely different physically and mentally.
Yeah, and we did ask about that. So I did go to his press conference and ask about, yeah, his physique and like kind of if he's been putting in work in the last few months. And here's what he said.
Yeah, I think that I'm always continuing to work on my body. I think from last year to now, or the last 8 months, I'm definitely down a few pounds. I don't know exactly how much, if it's 5, if it's 8. I think, you know, when you think about longevity out here on tour, carrying around a lot of weight can be a negative, obviously a positive with, you know, power. But I think that the areas of my game that I've improved in the last 8 months is, you know, my movement, my flexibility, how I'm recovering in between matches. I just feel like a little bit better athlete. And I don't know if that's because I'm a few pounds lighter or it's just a byproduct of the work that I've done.
So, yeah, I use the word shredded because, like, yeah, that means, you know, ripped. And it got, like, some laughs, like, in the press conference room. Like, it's like people didn't really know what the word shredded meant, which I found quite funny. But, yeah, like, he basically just said that it's not something he's really been particularly, like, focusing on per se, but it's like a continuous thing. Like, obviously, tennis is a physical sport, so you're going to always have to kind of work on your conditioning and, like, I guess, yeah, the physical side of things in the gym. He did mention, well, he did talk about, like, kind of losing some weight because, you know, it's not good to kind of carry too much weight around the court, obviously. So, yeah, he gave a really nice answer. He did, like, kind of, like, he appreciated the fact that, yeah, I said he looked shredded. And all credit should really go to Lucy because she was the one that kind of, well, she put that question to me and said, yeah, that's the question we should ask. So shout out to yourself, Lucy, for that. So, yeah, he's got Roberto Bautista Agut next in the second round. And, yeah, we look forward to seeing Ben play against the Spaniard. I think we should just go in the order of, like, wins. So it's going to be, like, a bit chop and change in terms of male-female. But, yeah, Coco Gauff, she was next on Arthur Ashe. Steamrolled past Varvara Gracheva in straight sets. She handed the Frenchwoman a bagel in the process. So was it 6-2, 6-love?
Yeah.
I thought Coco looked really good. I love the fit as well, that sky blue. I don't know what you made of the dress, Lucy.
Yeah,
because I've said here two-piece. Was it a two-piece or a one-piece? I'm not sure.
It's a dress.
Okay, so it's a one-piece.
Yeah, it's a dress. Yeah, that was, like, my favorite, one of my favorite kits of the day, for sure, personally.
In terms of Coco's play as well, like, what did you make of her play?
Yeah, I think she started a little bit rough, just a little bit. But I feel like as soon as she found, like, her momentum, she was able to, like, breeze through. One thing that I did find really impressive is that she kept aiming for winners. I'll say one of the few WTA players that really do focus on, like, trying to hit some winners and stuff. But, yeah, it's not like Gracheva was doing anything really special, because even on, like, the first set, the points that she was losing was more, like, due to the errors from Coco. But eventually, as soon as she started getting comfortable, that's it, she just breezed through.
You could argue that Gracheva probably settled quicker because you could argue that Gracheva settled quicker in the match because I thought she held serve pretty comfortably. And then when it came to Coco playing her service game, there were quite a few juices.
I mean, Gracheva she was struggling to convert anyways. Like, I think, like, she had, like, a lot of, she had over 6 break points that she could have converted into, like, actually, but was not able to. But it just shows that, you know, Coco was just on job, great defense throughout. And
she spoke about in her press. You went to her press?
Yeah, I did. And, yeah, and it's quite busy. Yeah,
she spoke about, like, well, I guess the mindset.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, like, you know, how she was going in, coming into, like, the first round, because obviously someone like her who's the defending champion, and then on top of that, she also was, you know, she won two other titles before she won her US Open last year, but this year didn't go as, you know, as well. So it was interesting trying to see, like, what was she thinking, what was going through her mind as she was going in, and if she surprised herself. And this is a question I wanted the journalist asked her, and this is what she said.
The first feeling was there was, like, it's been, like, a thing between, like, people, like, when I wave or not, like, between me and Ben, because he said I didn't wave during the Mixed Madness, so I, like, walked on court, and I initially, like, waved, and then I got nervous because I saw how big the crowd was, so then I looked down, so that was my, like, honest thoughts, but then once I started the warm-up, I was fine, and I wasn't surprised about my level, because I was practicing really well this week. It was a really good practice week, so honestly, I was just telling myself that I'm ready, that, you know, I had a great practice week. I feel like I'm finding my game, whereas the other two tournaments that I played at, even the practice sessions that I were doing, I just, you know, it was just some, I just felt off. So this week I just felt like I was really finding my game. So I was confident going in today. I was like, I knew based off how I was practicing, I can find my game regardless of the score line. Then it's just about executing.
So that was a nice answer. What was your kind of biggest takeaway overall from her press, like, in terms of, because, like you said, it was quite a few people in there?
Great energy, like, she felt like it was great, like, it was really, like, cool and stuff, and I think the journalists really liked to speak to her as well. Yeah. I think now that she's done with that first round, it kind of, like, helps her to continue and, like, breeze through and everything. So
do you feel like there was, like, maybe maybe some pressure kind of coming in, like, being the reigning champion?
Well, she said that there wasn't really, like, any, like, pressure like that.
Love that.
She didn't really think too much of it and stuff. I think Kirka's mindset is, you know, I've won it before, so, yeah, it is what it is. Which makes sense, which is rightfully so. So, yeah.
No, good. She plays Tatiana Maria next. And that will probably be on Wednesday, possibly Thursday. I've just got here as well. Like, I love the fact that Shelton and Coco were the first matches
of
today on Arthur Ashe. Like, mm-hmm. It's just such a good look, and it just shows, like, yeah, the kind of the healthy state, like, of American tennis, and the fact that two black players are up there, like, mm-hmm. it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, long may that continue. Madison Keys now. Let's talk about her. So she got a good win over Katerina Siniakova. Again, that was a straight sets win for Keys, who we were kind of worried about kind of coming in because she hadn't completed a match since Wimbledon.
I personally knew she was going to win this, mainly because Siniakova is not strong single player. Doubles is really, like, where her forte is at. Even by looking at how Siniakova been playing before she came to the US Open. So, yeah, I wasn't too worried about it. I was more, like, unsure of, like,
Her fitness,
yeah. And is she still in pain and so on. I wasn't too worried about, like, her having to play Siniakova.
Yeah, it was a pretty comfortable win in the end. So 6-4, 6-1, an hour and 4 minutes. Coco's match too, that was only, what, I think an hour and six, so 66 minutes.
Mm.
So some quick matches to kind of get that first win under the belt, which is good to see. And obviously Keys is the 14th seed.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's nice to see her be able to finish a match, mm-hmm. And look physically, like, in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And she did speak about that as well, like, kind of how the whole rehab kind of process went after Wimbledon. And I loved the fact that obviously she lost to Jasmine Paolini at Wimbledon. Was it the quarterfinals? Was it the fourth round? Or third round? I can't remember. But yeah, she lost to Jasmine Paolini in that really close match. Keyes said that basically that was one of the best matches she's, like, ever played, which I thought was quite a nice line.
Yeah.
And she just seems like in a really good place, like, which is really, it's just
good
to see and good to hear. Yeah. Good to see Keys get that win under mm-hmm. her belt. And she has Maya Joint next, the Australian well, American-born Australian who will be going to college in the States actually this year. So, yeah, we'll be looking out for Keys joint when they play. Taylor Townsend now. Let's talk about Taylor Townsend.
Yeah.
So she got a good win over Martina Trevisan, a former top 20 player. And that was a straight sets win, although she did have to come back from, was it 5-2 or 5-3 down in the second?
Yeah.
So, yeah, she was 3-5 down in the second set. But, yeah, basically won four games in a row to close out the match. You were actually on, you went to a bit, you saw a bit
a
of that
bit,
match.
Yeah, because at one point all of the matches were on
at the
same time.
Which we kind of expected.
Yeah, which was quite tough to...
Well, what did you make of Townsend's like level?
Very aggressive as well. I feel like she's been playing a lot more aggressive the past year, but even more ever since like her win at Wimbledon and her run during like the hardcore tournaments.
Picked up some good wins.
Yeah, really good wins, yeah. But she was playing well. She had like some... At times it was tricky, especially that, you know, her head-to-head with Trevisan. Trevisan has beaten her before, so... but although she's a complete different player compared to when they played each other last time.
Yeah.
Trevisan was struggling a bit. And I also think maybe the atmosphere, because like the court like was full, you know, people were cheering for Taylor, like it was, because I left after the first set.
Okay.
And then I came back and it was like double like thing, like it was there was a lot of people, and obviously Taylor being American, the crowd was really like going in for a lot.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
Yeah, honestly, she looked good. Yeah, it was really exciting seeing her like playing really well, especially in singles as well.
Yeah, and she obviously should be playing doubles as well again with Siniaková. Well, in the women's doubles anyway, but she's also going to be playing mixed as well with Donald Young.
Yeah,
who's now 35 years old, which is crazy. Former junior world number one.
Yeah, so actually someone did ask her about, I was actually going to ask her about it, but someone did ask her like, because it was just announced right before her press that she was going to be playing mixed double with him, and it kind of asked like, you know, about her, about that, and how like how that came about and stuff, and yeah, and this is what she said.
Yeah, so it's really special for me because, you know, he's retiring. So it was, when he asked me to play, it was an honor because, you know, I grew up with Donald. I mean, I've known him since their parent, his mom and my mom played doubles together. He was the ring bearer at my mom and dad's wedding. Like, you know, from the time that I could even remember anything, Donald was around. And obviously his dad and mom being my first coaches ever since I picked up a racket. And so I have like so many special memories, and more than anything, it's really special because he was the closest thing that I had to like feeling as though this living this life was possible. You know, him winning Junior Wimbledon, Junior Australian Open, you know, going onto the tour, breaking out on tour, like, so, and then coming home and being able to bring that accomplishment to us and being able to see that that stuff, like, it was the closest that I ever had to, like, being near anyone that was doing this at this level. So for me, like, when he asked me to play, like, I just felt like it was an honor to be able to, like, close that book for him, because they kind of, like, opened that for me in a sense. So I felt like it was kind of like a full circle moment. So I was like, of course, like, it's an honor. And, you know, of course, you know, I'm talking shit. I'm just like, hey, you better not suck out here. If you start doing some crazy stuff, I will serve a ball at your head. Like, don't play with me. So it was threats. Still, you know, everything's on the table. But we're going to have fun. And, you know, it was an honor for me to be able to do this for him.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I did not know that they had, like, a really close family, like, relationship and stuff. And I think this is such a great way as well for Donald to, like, you know, close out his book and everything, especially with, you know, another black player at the US Open as well. So it would be really dope.
And there's like been history there, obviously, the family and stuff. So yeah, it's a nice, it is a really nice story.
Yeah, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'm actually pretty happy and glad that we're here to also witness that.
True.
As well.
Yeah, no, good point.
Because we could have just been, I mean, yeah, watching it on TV is also great, but being here in person is definitely like a whole different ball game. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Shout out to Donna Young, shout out to Taylor. She is playing 26th seed Paula Badosa next, which I feel like it's going to be a very intense match, especially that they are both around the same time started like playing better. So Paula, obviously, she had like a very intense like injury. She's now playing better.
Won Washington.
Yeah, she won Washington. She's playing better and stuff. They did play against each other first round of the Australian Open this year. Obviously, Paula won that. But again, like I said earlier, Townsend is a different player from a couple months ago, a year ago. So yeah, I think it's actually going to be a very good match. It might be a tough one for Townsend, mainly because of the experience that Badosa have. Like, she used to be literally, she was highest ranking, if I believe.
Number two.
So, like, you know, we're talking about someone who, although she has not been playing her best right now or as of recently, you know, she was at the top. So that's the only reason why I think it might be tricky for Taylor. But other than that, I think it's going to be a good match. Might even motivate her even more. 100%. And
yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. But like, mm-hmm. you said, obviously it's a seeded player, so it's going to be a dangerous one. Taylor's, she's got absolutely nothing to lose in that, and obviously she's going to be in the doubles draws as well, so we'll be seeing a lot of Taylor Townsend during mm-hmm. this US Open for sure. Gael Monfils now, Lamont came from a set down to beat Diego Schwartzman, another retiring player, the Argentine. So yeah, Monfils won that in four sets. I was able to watch maybe three or four games actually on court, and it was, yeah, I do enjoy watching Monfils play, like, kind of take his power for granted as well, considering it's just very easy power that he has, being, I think he's what, 6'3", 6'4", big guy. But yeah, moving so well. Also shouts out to him too for winning the UTS last week now. So yeah, clearly he's feeling good about his game, and to come back from a set down against Schwartzman, who actually came through qualifying. So shouts out to Schwartzman for coming through qualifying, and yeah, now he's retiring, so this is his final US Open. Just really a really, really good, like, a bit of a throwback match, because they're kind of similar ages. They're similar age. And I think it was the ATP or US Open's Twitter said, oh, this one's for the OGs. Like,
Because the guys
are like in their like mid to late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But no, man, a good advert. Like, because from what I saw, like, it was a good standard of tennis from both guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, Monfils was the one that was able to close out in the end in four sets.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to catch any of Monfils?
A little bit.
What did you make of him?
No, it was good. I think it was impressive that he actually managed to get through when he did at times look physically tired.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just shows that his skills are just different, because there were times where I was watching the match and I was like, I think this guy is like just, I don't think right now he can like continue.
I think that's a ploy though, like on Monfils. Like, he always kind of has that, like, the stance at the back of the court, like when he's like haunched down.
Yeah.
But he's a fit guy, clearly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, in the end, he won that fourth set 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
So closed it out, like, pretty comfortably.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's got Casper Ruud next, the number 8 seed, which will be a big test.
Obviously, yeah, definitely.
Ruud is, yeah, one of the top 10 seeds. Not sure what his, like, form is like. Well, I say form, what his record is like in New York. That's what I say. He's been a finalist, hasn't he?
Who, Casper Ruud?
Ruud, yeah. I'm sure he lost a final to Alcaraz. I'm pretty sure that was the final he lost. But yeah, that's going to be an entertaining second round match for sure. Ruud Lamont. And we look forward to seeing that. Last match now, in terms of wins anyway. big foe, France's TFO, looked pretty good against Alexander Kovacic, fellow American, although he did go to four sets. So the opening two sets were pretty comfortable for big foe. Didn't give Kovacic any break point looks, so it was like, yeah, solid on serve.
Yeah.
Until that third set, like, things got a bit shaky. He did end up losing that third set, but then, yeah, locked in for the fourth and took it 7-5. Incredible atmosphere on Louis Armstrong, Lucy. Like, what did you make of Armstrong?
Yeah, it was... obviously, I came from, like, the third set.
In the middle of the third, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, the energy was great. The level was, like, great from both. I think by the time I came on, Kovacic actually, like, he really, like, leveled up a lot. Like, he was moving really well, was hitting some incredible shots. But, you know, Tiafoe stood down, and then that final set he just took away. It was, I don't think Kovacic was able to keep on, like, the momentum that he did, whereas Francis was able to just take that away from him. But yeah, honestly, the energy was just different. It was a bit, a lot going on, and I think that's why on the final set they actually stopped people from, like, being able to get up and just go whenever they wanted, rather than wait until when there's, like, a changeover or after a game or whatnot. So yeah, but other than that, yeah, it was great. I mean, both Americans as well. I'm guessing with Kovacic, like, being from New York, well, born in New York, as well, he had, like, the crowd behind him. But to be fair, there was times as well when Tiafoe was hitting some winners and he had a crowd behind him as well. So yeah, it was 2-2 of them. It was a great way to open up Louis Armstrong. So yeah, it was a great energy.
Night session as well. Like, I think that always adds to the atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely.
But like you said, just kind of speaking more about, like, the crowd. Like, I've watched matches on Louis Armstrong on TV.
Yeah.
And it's not the same thing. Like, I was saying to Tamani, like, there's a constant, like, murmur.
Yeah.
Because it's the crowd, like, speaking, or, like you said, moving around, like, in between points. And to be fair to the players, Lucy, like, they actually just get on with it. They don't really care. But I think that's only in America. Like, you won't get that at Wimbledon. You're not getting that at, like, the Australian.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're not getting that at the French.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, the US Open is so unique in that sense.
For sure.
But again, with Tiafoe, again, credit to him. I feel like he enjoys that as well, like, in terms of, like, that kind of, yeah, that just, I don't know, it's a party atmosphere, basically.
Yeah, for sure.
And it kind of fuels him, and you could argue and say that, yeah, the crowd kind of got him through in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, two Americans playing, but obviously, Tiafoe is a very popular player.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say the crowd were more for him, being the seed as well. But no, it was a good match. And
yeah.
Probably didn't need to go to three sets, but it was good to see him close it out in four.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, he's got another Alexander Shevchenko, in the next round. Hopefully that's a more straightforward kind of result, although Shevchenko is a better player than Kovacic in terms of ranking. But yeah, I'm expecting TFO to come through in that match.
Yeah.
And we'll be possibly looking at that third round encounter between him and Shelton.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen, yeah, for sure.
So we'll see. We'll see. To close, Lucy, we've got to talk about some defeats. So let's go Giovanni Pecci-Pericard first. Fed in straight sets to Thomas Martin Echeverri of Argentina, which I thought was tough. Like, it's a tough debut for the Frenchman.
Yeah.
Echeverri, like, he's probably one of the highest ranked players to not be seeded. So that's a horrible draw for Pecci-Pericard. I mean, there was also we weren't able to see him in press because he didn't actually do press afterwards, but he did have the trainer out in the third set. that was, I think, attending to his hand. Something wrong with his hand or finger.
I think he must have just like blistered his hand or something like that. But
so hopefully that's nothing too serious.
Yeah.
For the Frenchman.
Mm-hmm.
Another defeat. Christopher Eubanks, our guy, lost in five sets to another Frenchman, Arthur Rindiknech. That went to a fifth set tiebreak. Literally down to the wire. And again, that was played in front of a packed Court 11 crowd. I think you went, or you tried to go.
Yeah, I went the first couple sets and then obviously left because I had to go to other matches and press conferences.
What was the atmosphere like?
Yeah, no, it was great, but it was, I think it was even better when it was like towards like the fourth and fifth set.
Yeah.
It was literally impossible for me to like get through. And I think it's also because it was later and it was outside court, there are fewer matches, so it gets even busier. On top of that, it's an American player and it was really close. I won't be surprised if the crowd was one of the reasons why he was able to go for that long, considering that, he had like a lot of people cheering for him and stuff. And yeah. I know that Eubanks like those type of things and like it can kind of motivate him.
Of course.
I really wish I was actually there towards the end of the match, even though he did not win. So, yeah.
Another defeat, actually. Well, the last defeat we're going to talk about is Sloane Stephens. So she lost in three sets, despite winning the first set 6-love against Clara Burrell. We weren't able to. You did see a bit of that match.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
What did you make of Sloane's level?
I honestly thought she was going to win that match in three sets.
Yeah.
The fact that he went to three sets and then went to her losing the match, I was like, okay. I honestly did not expect it at all. Burrell leveled up a bit.
She leveled up more. She more than leveled up a bit, but
I personally don't think she lost. She won the match solely because I think Sloane's level kind of dipped just a little bit. Yeah, that's why I said that. But I'm gonna be really, really honest. I did not expect it to go that way.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But
it's a tough loss for Sloane. Yeah. There's no like two ways about that. You'd think when you win a set 6-love, you're probably going to be on to a pretty comfortable win, but that's tennis for you, man. Like, things can change in an instant, and clearly that's what happened in this match. Because it's difficult for me to like talk about it because I wasn't able to like watch any of the points, so I can't say in terms of like level or like where I think her game's at because I don't know. I just hope she doesn't take that too hard. I think she's experienced enough to kind of not just understand you win some, you lose some. Obviously, it's tough to lose in the first round of a Grand Slam that you've won before. Hopefully it doesn't stick in the memory for too long for Sloane.
Mm-hmm.
Looking ahead to tomorrow now, Lucy, day two. So pretty busy day. Maybe not as busy as today, to be fair, but still busy. So you've got Naomi Osaka, Jasmine Paolini, Felix Auger-Aliassime, Arthur Fils, Gabriel Diallo, and Matthew Forbes as well, all playing on day two. So obviously we'll be in tune for all of that. We'll be bringing you our day two pod live. I say live. Day two pod from Flushing Meadows, just like day one.
Yep.
Guys, thank you so much, man, for tapping in and like I said earlier, all the kind of social stuff that you guys have been giving us praise, and the merch as well. Like, Lucy, we need to shout out people buying the merch. Like, people are buying that merch, and we love that. So please continue, guys. Like, if you haven't already, go onto the website and get yourself a hoodie or t-shirt. Get maybe two. Get one for yourself and someone that's close to you. Put them on.
For sure.
Guys, until tomorrow, we will catch you again. It's been fun, Lucy, so thank you.